Hey, everybody. I wanted to let you know about a book that's out right now that's called The Witch's Encyclopedia of Magical Plants by Sandra Kynes. It is your ultimate acacia to zinnia guide to over 550 magical plants for rituals, spellcraft, divination, and more. It is an incredible resource for magical practitioners. It's an illustrated encyclopedia that offers detailed profiles of all the herbs, houseplants, fruits, vegetables, trees, and flowers that you could ever need. It is a comprehensive reference guide. It's packed with familiar favorites like apple, lemongrass, with lesser known options like moonwort and pignut. There are hundreds of plants to choose from. You are going to find the best botanical partners for raising your healing energy, communing with your ancestors, increasing your psychic ability, manifesting your dreams, and anything else you could possibly want to do with plants. You can grab your gardening gloves and save 20% on The Witch's Encyclopedia of Magical Plants by Sandra Kynes by going to Llewellyn.com and using coupon code PLANTS20. That is, go to Llewellyn.com, enter coupon code PLANTS20, and you will get 20% off The Witch's Encyclopedia of Magical Plants. That coupon code is valid through March 31st. It's not good in conjunction with other discounts or previously placed orders. You will need to be logged into your Llewellyn.com account for the coupon code to apply. Check it out. It is a great resource for all of our plant lovers, and you will not be sad that you've added this to your collection.
Guess what, witches? Tickets are now on sale for That Witch Life's third annual MiniCon, a one-day virtual conference on Saturday, April 6th. This year, we are focusing the entire MiniCon on the magic of astrology. Come join us for workshops about using astrology to improve your magical life. Courtney, Kanani, and I will be presenting workshops. Plus, there will be a special class by astrologer Michael A. Bryan and a masterclass with renowned astrologer and author Ivo Dominguez Jr. Topics include empowering your witchcraft with astrology, mastering traditional astrology, astrology for artists, moon magic, and healing with the star goddess. If you can't make it live, everything will be recorded and sent to ticket holders after the event. Get your tickets for April 6th, That Witch Life MiniCon, The Magic of Astrology now at thatwitchlife.com. Price goes up March 23rd, so don't wait. Hope to see you there.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and power of the spell.
She's actually sending me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Blessed be, yo.
Blessed be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Witch Life Podcast. I'm your host today. I'm Hillary, and I'm joined by my two maniac co-hosts, who are...
I'm Courtney, going second because Kanani has just decided that her role in life is to always go third.
Yeah, correct. Kanani exactly. Refuses to go second or first unless she's hosting.
Exactly.
And then I am Kanani. That's Kanani. So,
well, we're really excited to be with you here today. This is our Patreon gathering that's happening. So we have a number of people of our Patreon supporters here that are also part of our TWL squad. If you're listening for the first time, our TWL squad is a private Facebook group for our Patreon supporters. And we're really excited to be here. This is one of my favorite ways to connect with community. So what have you two been up to recently in your practices? There's been lots going on. I know we've all been very busy.
So first of all, I'm going to reference that one of our squad members just correctly pointed out that Kanani just wants to make sure everyone else is paying attention before she goes. Yes, squad member, that is partially correct. The other part of it is that Kanani herself is not paying attention. And so it takes two introductions before she remembers.
That's the more correct option.
What she's doing. So, absolutely. Oh, we have a squad member. It's their first live. Welcome.
Yeah.
So I am doing a, most recently, I have been doing a, how do I describe it? A heretical act of the Sabbath, so to speak. And it sounds very metal. I really love it. I'm going to start a band, I think. So I work for myself. And when you're an entrepreneur, you work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. However, I also just got a 40-hour a week job because I have debt to pay off. So now I'm technically working, I guess, 120 hours a week plus being a mom. My mom is desperately worried that I'm, you know, neglecting my duties as lots of things. But I'm trying very hard to balance it all. But I have made it a commitment that I don't do any work on Sundays. Now, that doesn't include housework, because if I don't do housework on Sundays, I will never have a clean house ever. But I'm not answering emails, and I'm not like hustling. I'm not making TikTok videos. I'm not trying to get clients or anything like that. Oh, in case I haven't mentioned, I have gone into business for myself doing the full time. You know, I'm reading tarot full time, and I've also started a virtual platform for people who want to deepen or reconnect with their magical practice called The Cauldron Calling. So I have, you know, I am assaulting everybody with all that information on my social media portals, but I'm saying that on Sundays, I don't do any kind of business work. Sundays instead are for rest, relaxation, and magic. And that's the day that, and it's been really funny, because like I'm in this kind of hamster wheel zone, because there's so much to do that on Sundays, if I'm like, no, I'm not doing any business work, I still feel that need to hamster wheel. And so I'm channeling that into magic, like sitting down with my altar for the first time since in like 2 years. I'm like regularly sitting with my altar and asking it, like, what do I need to be doing for myself? And last week I got this, all this information about things I was supposed to do, really about creating peace for myself, which I absolutely rebelled against immediately and started watching apocalyptic videos on nuclear war from the 80s.
That tracks.
I don't know why I do this shit to myself. I've been watching Threads. Have you ever seen Threads?
No.
Scariest fucking movie in the history of the world. It is available on YouTube. Only if you like to horrify yourself should you watch this movie. It's terrifying. So it's about nuclear apocalypse in England in the 80s, and it's really well made. Like, cinematically speaking, it's a phenomenal movie, and it's just horrifying and will leave me scarred forever. And that's what I did instead of creating peace, which is what magic told me to do. I don't know why I do this to myself.
I know. One of the squad members said, I started school again, so I haven't had time for magic, unfortunately, and we remodeled our floors in the house. If I hadn't been laid off, I'd be working full time too. So I'm also busy looking for work I'm also looking for work busy still though. It's always the way, right? You know, I was having this conversation with a good friend the other day where I have always some sort of crazy project going on top of work, on top of the podcast, and on top of teaching. It's really hard to carve out time for practice. And so I've also been really trying to keep Sundays clear and like turn off work messages. And I'm like, with the knowledge that if it's an emergency, someone will call me. And
if it's
been
not
really
an emergency,
because
I will call you anyway.
That's just a thing that I signed up for when we became friends. So that's just the cross I bear to be your friend.
exactly. Well, I'm the same way. I was talking to someone and they were saying, you know, with all the stuff going on with the house, which I'm still, the outside of my house is now done. The roof is done. Everything's repaired. Nothing's leaking anymore. But the sheetrock and making my house function like my house again, it's still a work in progress. And they were just kind of like, you know, you realize you really need to do a cleansing on your house, right? After all this stuff that's happening, you desperately need to do a cleansing in your house. Because I was talking about, you know, some of the vibes I'm getting and just some of the just kind of ick that's hanging around. And I know this is a fact, but finding time to sit down and do it and not be like, no, I need to be fixing the house before I'm cleansing the house. It's like, it's one of those things where certain things in life, it's like, you know, that they're not that hard. You know that they need to be done, but it's just, it's like getting the time to do it and the brain capacity to do it. And the it's just, so that's kind of jumping up on my to-do list, is I really need to do a good cleansing of my house, even, and I've already decided I'm going to do it before it's done, because I don't know how long it's going to take to be done. And I just need to, I just need to do that. So yeah, sometimes just because you know something needs to be done or you know it's helpful doesn't mean it's still not hard to accomplish.
Well, and I think one of the problems I think that a lot of us run into as modern witches is treating magic as though it's an item on a to-do list. And that is something we have to make time to do. And we have, and we do this a lot. We tend to fetishize the way things were 300 years ago, but let's just go down that hole for a second. Do we really think that in the 1700s in, you know, colonizer America, that anybody had time to sit down and do a magical practice? Fuck no. I mean, they were trying to survive. They had less time than we did, you know? But so it's not about like, let me carve out some time today to do this. It's the same thing. Magic is not, we're not meant to serve magic. All right. We're not meant to like show up and serve magic the way that in Christianity people are meant to. You got to go and serve the church. You got to give time to the church. Magic is a tool that is like movement for the body and nourishing food, right? We don't get up in the morning in order to serve nourishing food. Nourishing food is meant to support us and sustain us. The same thing with movement. I'm not talking about like exercise so you can like be the fittest version of yourself, but exercise does get your blood moving and avoid stiffness. It can elevate a mood and it breaks us out of like that. So we don't need to, it's not about carving time out to do magic. It's about bringing magic into what you do, right? And there are certain magical practices that can increase your powers that do need their own time. But magic as a concept does not need us to carve out a time and do it. Instead, it is bringing magic to the lives that we lead. So like today, when I'm cleaning my house, there will be an element of bringing spells into washing the floor, like vacuuming, like,
yeah,
but it's like praying over the fucking vacuum to say whatever is in this dust that is, you know, remnant of me having a 5 p.m. meltdown. That's my meltdown time, by the way, is 5 p.m. Usually, like, sometimes I can push it back to 5:10, but that's when the baby's crying and when the dog is insane and my husband's not home yet and everything is going wrong. So I'm gonna like bless the vacuum to suck out anything dust related that has any tinges of the 5:10 p.m. meltdown, because I don't need to keep walking around in it, right? And then taking the garbage out, it's like to breathe into the intention that what is in this garbage that is keeping the house in nasty nasty space, that is being removed. And that is not only a much more reasonable way to approach magic, it's also really effective.
It's effective. It's also nice because I feel like it also makes the tasks that we hate doing, I think it makes it, I'm like, I feel like there's some intention behind what I'm doing, rather than like, damn it, I have to vacuum. I hate vacuuming. Damn it, I have to take out the trash or whatever, you know, it's not. And I think that, you know, same, I do that a lot with food as well, because it's like, you have to, I mean, it, and I think that, you know, when we have these busy lives, like, yes, I try to make time to be at my altar and lean on my altar and make sure that I'm, more importantly, make sure I'm tending to my altar. But at the same time, like, you know, we have to be realistic. None of us have, you know, 20 extra hours a week to sit and do a magical practice. Like, no one has that. At least I, in my personal life, know not a single person that has just like, you know, endless amounts of time to do magic. And I think that when we realize that what I believe is a really sustainable practice is making sure that it is integrated into everything that you do in your life. Like when you're doing anything, sometimes it's when I'm cleaning, sometimes it's when I'm cooking, sometimes it's when I'm gardening, you know, sometimes it's when I'm going for a walk, you know, it's all of the things that I think if you can integrate it into even what we consider mundane activities, then you're infusing it into every single part of your life, not just waiting for the full moon to do something, not just waiting for, you know, a Sabbath to do something, but that it is part of literally everything. And then that makes it more like, you know, more attainable, because obviously we have to do laundry eventually.
Yeah.
I also think like in my case, I actually have moved my altar downstairs, and because I just kind of like Courtney said, she has her tap out time. I kind of have my tap out time in the evenings where once I've sat on the couch and I'm watching TV, I'm done. I'm done. I'm really, I don't want to do all the things that are surrounding me. And so having my altar in the living room that I can see where I'm constantly burning candles and I have my intentions written on paper, on post-its under the candles.
Post-it magic.
And it just, I don't know, it's reassuring to me. It brings me peace. And it's kind of funny because it makes me, as someone who's always doing seven things, it makes me feel not guilty about sitting, right? Because I feel like I can see that I'm still doing something. I'm still putting intention out there. I'm taking care of myself, right? Because I'm also using this magic in ways to help me manifest the things, my goals, the things I'm working towards so hard. So it allows me to sit and relax and watch mindless shows and still feel like I'm accomplishing something and not feel guilt for the fact that I'm sitting and not moving and not doing 12 things. And so sometimes it's just those, because I do think that where your magical practice starts to get really difficult is when it does start to feel like something on a to-do list, right? Like if I feel like it, like that brings me peace and makes me feel good and is simple and easy and I can do it really quickly. And it's just something I do habitually. The candle is almost always, I have just tea lights. There's almost always a tea light burning. It's just habit for me. When I'm downstairs, I light it. And when I leave, right before I leave, I blow it out. And but when it feels like it's something on my to-do list, it feels burdensome and it's harder to want to do and it's harder to want to accomplish when it's not just kind of innate like that, you know? And so I'm actually excited. Life has calmed down. I should say life has not calmed down at all. Every day there is a new disaster.
Bite your tongue.
I know. Every day there is a new disaster. Knock on wood, they have not all been my disasters, but I've found out recently almost every day I've gotten some sort of disastrous news from someone that is important to me or I care about that I'm talking with them about or checking in with them about. Of just all the things that are happening. And, but my brain at least is calmed down and in a good calm place. So I'm actually starting to get excited for Ostara because I don't remember that I did anything last year. I know I went all out 2 years ago. I think last year the holidays were just kind of, I did what I could do because it was our first holidays. With the kids adjusting to just be just being me and them for the holidays. And so I just kind of, you know, easied my way through it. And so this year I'm kind of getting excited again and I'm starting to think I might do another barbecue and we might do an outside, weather permitting, an outside egg hunt. And I went out actually and I went to Michael's and Joanne's and got some cheap little cute decorations. And actually got some for you guys. I'm going to be posting a video on the squad.
Why do we always have to take videos of ourselves opening presents? It's always
because
like
you're,
so
it's so funny.
Awkward.
And it was even more funny that I made you do it. And it was like 30 degrees outside. So you're both shivering and turning blue as I'm making you do this on video. That was really fun for me.
Oh my God.
And so, but yeah, so I, you know,
because you were having a hot flash and that made you yeah, like, oh,
I
let's
was
step
angry
outside.
That I had that hot flash. So yes, that was part of it. So it just, I don't know. I'm excited that I'm starting to get excited about things because that's been a while. It's been a while that I've been in a calm enough brain space to actually genuinely get excited about something instead of even holidays, which I love, which we've talked about 1,000 times. I'm ridiculous about holidays and all of them. Just teach me a new one. And that's going to be, I'm going to love that holiday. Like I love all the holidays. And so
you're gonna end up marrying a Jewish person.
It was
kind of
hard
just
to not
so you can have
about holidays last year.
I mean,
and feel like
honestly,
that's it. She became a pagan so she could have 8 holidays a year, and that's not enough. Yes. So now she's like, Kanani is out
while
looking
not
to
getting
meet
rid of
Jewish
the others,
person.
Mind you. We're just adding those 8.
She wants to meet a religious Jewish person who will celebrate all because the Jewish people have a lot of holidays. So Kanani is out there looking for somebody. Yeah,
By the way, if they have a taco truck, they have a chance. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So
you can bring more holidays to my life and you have a taco truck. You have a chance.
A squad member says, sometimes when life gets too overwhelming, just listening to this podcast is my magical practice. And somebody else said, I feel that. I do the same with music. I love that. I mean, I'm guessing
and it's that's enough second half. Sometimes, honestly, like, don't ever feel like, you know, that because we're the same. I mean, we have a podcast on magical practices. And, you know, yeah, sometimes talking about magic on the podcast is also my magical practice. So, yeah, I mean, you have to give yourself grace. Life is crazy. And sometimes you're excelling and sometimes you're achieving and you're manifesting and you are living your best life. And other times it is all you can do just to get through the day. And it is okay wherever you are in that cycle, because it changes, you know. Some days you'll be on one side, some days you'll be on the other. And so that makes me feel good that's something that people, you know, really, I always like hearing how much people get out of it, because for us, so much of it is, you know, just shooting the shit and spending time together and learning new things ourselves and getting to talk to amazing people. And it's nice that other people enjoy it as much as we do.
We had another squad member that said, when I put honey on my kids' cereal or sandwiches, I pour it in the shape of a pentacle. That's about it for my daily practice these days, other than lighting a candle with intention. Anytime I'll actually be sitting at a desk for more than a moment. I mean, that's plenty. Like, yeah, your intention through food is a very powerful practice. When we know Dawn the Kitchen Witch has a whole business that is set up to support that very thing. And I actually do the same thing when I'm cooking, is that I for some reason I naturally want to stir counterclockwise, and I tell myself intentionally to stir clockwise, and I offer something that I want to put into the food, just the health, wealth, laughter, whatever that is in the moment. And I don't know that it has to be clockwise versus counterclockwise, but if you're naturally inclined to stir one way and then you stir the other, that stops your hamster wheel and creates the space to make intention. So that is why I do it. Cause I know there's probably some folks out there that are like, what's the difference between, and there are some schools of thought that say that to stir something counterclockwise is to banish, and to stir something clockwise is to invoke. But you also have like a long, long, long line of traditions that say to turn something counterclockwise is to hex or is baneful. And you know, to do it clockwise is blessing it. So there's a lot of different schools of thought there, but my rule of thumb is, what are you doing naturally? Do the opposite. And that's going to put you in the mindset of doing something that, you know, creates some space to do intention.
What I do too also sometimes is, like, when I'm, you know, I pay a lot of attention. I mean, I work a lot with plants and herbs and such. And so when I am cooking, I pay a lot of attention to what each of those individual elements are, so that, like, if I'm putting in, you know, a bay leaf, or I'm putting in rosemary, you know, it's like I'm thinking through what I want that, like, not just the general sense of what each of these things, you know, relate to, but more what I want out of it. Like, what for me this means, what's the significance of this for me? Am I praying for health? Am I looking for, you know, am I, and sometimes it's also like, if I'm cooking for people, I'm also thinking of that. Like, what would I like to provide for the people I'm cooking for? Not just sustenance of the food, but, you know, health, you know, stability, growth, whatever that looks like, whatever they are going through versus what I am. And so it's nice because it gives me a way to not just go, okay, yeah, I need a, you know, quarter teaspoon of this, and I needed that, you know, just like kind of mindlessly throwing things into a pot. You know, and then the same thing, you know, I really focus on, you know, how I am stirring. And then I usually have usually I'm saying something repeatedly while I'm stirring or cooking of whatever I'm trying to manifest, or whatever I want to infuse into that food that I might eat all week, that I might give to someone, that I might, you know, and then it's a nice way to, I mean, I think kitchen magic, food magic is so powerful because, you know, we're like, food provides so many things for us. It provides sustenance. It provides comfort. It provides warmth. It provides happiness. It sometimes boosts endorphins, you know, like we can get dopamine from food, you know, like all of these things. So it's like, you know, I think when we can also think about magically what's happening with our food, both from, you know, what each of these things signify, but also what it means for us. I think it's like a really, really nice way to really infuse your magic into whatever you're doing, because you're going to eat all day. And it again comes down to one of those things where it's like, well, we have to eat. So, you know, even if I'm like heating up some stuff from before, you can still take a moment to, you know, pray over the food, to add something quickly to it that would signify whatever you're trying to work on or towards. Well,
and one of the squad members wrote, and that is exactly what I was about to say, which is, it's a perfect thing to incorporate because it's something you have to do, right? You're going to do it every day. You have to eat. It's kind of like, you know, incorporating magic into eating is fantastic because you always have to eat. Incorporating it into cleaning is fantastic because you have to
eventually
clean, and incorporating
eventually.
It into
eventually you have to clean.
You know, you bathe. So the things that you're naturally going to have to do and are naturally a part of your rhythm, when you're able to incorporate magic into that, it becomes really powerful.
One of our squad members said, at the beginning of the year, I started making it a habit to just sit at my altar before I went to leave for school, anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. And now I feel lost when I don't. And then they also said, additionally, I made the mistake of listening to the podcast when putting on makeup in the morning, because it's hard to put on mascara when you're laughing so hard. I apologize for the messy makeup that we totally caused.
I don't. You know, I own it. I say, you know what? It made you that happy in the morning. I just hope you don't poke yourself in the eye with a mascara wand like I did last night.
Why would you even say that out loud? Like, I hope you don't sever your eye with a mascara
wand. Because I did it last night. Because I did it to myself.
And now they're going to just jam it right in their eyeball.
I did that last night. I did that before we went out last night. I jammed the mascara wand into my eye and it hurt really bad. And I was really mad. I didn't mean to.
She's like this. I didn't mean to do it.
I didn't do it on purpose.
We had so much fun going out last night, though.
we left the house. That was amazing.
We went to a fundraiser for a really amazing local theater, and we decided that.
I think we can say it. My sister is the executive director of Broadway Rose Theater Company out in Tigard. She's not afraid of letting us know. And I donated Ann Weiser books. We donated together a tarot package, which included a reading with me and a copy of my Tarot for One and Teresa Reed's tarot journal, and the Weiser tarot and this beautiful tarot bag that I found on Etsy. So that was nice to do. It was actually a guy that we went to elementary school with. He and his wife bought the package. We came up with a really great, well, I'm going to take credit for this idea because it was my idea. So how we want to support this company going forward, and we want to put this out there that we are willing to do this for anyone who's trying to raise money. This is a great package to add to a silent auction, but we could probably figure out a way to add it to any other kind of fundraiser. So we're going to donate a package to my sister's theater company next year, starting bid at $300. If you have an event like for your company or a big family gathering, anything that you really want there to be some kind of clout and positive attention, you can bid on a package for That Witch Life podcast. And if you win, we promise we will not show up and embarrass you. And we won't talk about it. And we won't associate ourselves with you.
We won't promote it. Yeah. Tell everyone.
Yeah. We promote it. We won't do any of that. So you just pay, like, you know, get someone to, especially like this is a big deal. For $3,000 donated to a small company, we won't come. And then you don't have to worry about it.
We won't ruin your event.
No,
we won't embarrass you in public. Yeah,
so
you don't have to worry. And we decided that some of our families might pay, like sell their house to make sure that we don't show up to their events because of the trauma they've all experienced since high school.
True.
I was like, our parents are going to auction their houses.
Yeah, there goes their retirement fund. They're going to have to move in with us. Hell, that's the irony. Oh, my God.
I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God. We have to figure out how to do this. My mom sent me the video files of us being the Wicked Stepsisters in Cinderella.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we have to. We should do a squad viewing.
We need to figure out a live venue to have a red carpet event. And then you can wear your Grammy dress. Look at Kanani. She can't even.
Courtney and I were the awful. stepsisters in Cinderella in high school. And it was like shenanigans the entire time, because we can't be reasonable, serious, respectful, and responsible humans. and I'm sure it's hysterical because like all this insanity happened. Like we like had one of the times we were actually, this was funny because we were rehearsing. We went to Catholic school. So we would rehearse and the dress rehearsal was in front of the nuns. The nuns would come. So we'd have bodies, you know, in the audience.
And these were the retired nuns. These nuns were about 700 years old. And those were the younger nuns. Some of them were well over 2000 years old. They were around. They knew Jesus. They changed his diapers. Like seriously, these were ancient nuns. And they barely knew where they were and what was going on.
And they would come and we did the thing. And during the scene where we're trying on the slipper, right? So Courtney was trying to make her feet shorter. I was like, had my feet in an ice bucket to fit my foot in the shoe. And during the scene, you know, we pretend that there's like a struggle with our friend Lyman Flanco, who we've talked about before on the podcast. Lyman was the one that was like taking the shoe around to try it on. And so like, we're fighting on stage, pretending to like, that it's a struggle to get it off. Well, Lyman did it a little too flipped the bench upside down. And I fell with my ass in the ice bucket and it suctioned me into the ice bucket. Like it was like a vacuum seal and I'm on the ground and I'm like, oh my God. And they're like, why aren't you getting up? Like they're all looking at me like, why are you on the floor? And I'm like, my ass is stuck in the bucket.
Yeah.
And this is in front of the nuns.
She was still doing it in character. She was in character going, my butt. Oh, we have a fun factoid about that production. So one of the guy that played the Duke, you know, the one that showed up with Lyman Flanco, his name is John Prescott. And for those of you who have seen Holiday with Jack Black and Kate Winslet, he had a very small but very important role in that movie where like Jack Black sees his girlfriend out with this hot guy and he comes out, like runs out of the restaurant. He's like, oh, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. That's the hot guy.
That's John Prescott. And that guy was in that theater show with us.
Yep. Yes. He's freaking hilarious. Like, the strangest, most random sense of humor. It's always been kind of a shame that Hollywood never like picked him to do more comedy. I mean, he's done a lot of modeling and stuff like that and had those kind of bit roles because he's a good looking guy, but he's like,
how did I not flirt with that guy?
You know what? He was at the Grammys this year and I didn't know. Otherwise I would have tried to find him.
Oh my God.
He was at the Grammys this year and I didn't know he was there. Otherwise I would have tried to find him.
You know why? Because he was super cute in high school, but really like he was so odd and like this strange sense of humor.
He has a very strange. He kind of still does have a strange sense of humor. Well, I mean,
I love it. I love it. I get.
Oh, I love his sense of humor.
But I think Kanani, that's why you didn't flirt with him is because he was telling strange jokes and you would have just kind of like looked at him deer in the headlights and turned and walked away.
That's true. I would have just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just walked away. But that's the only thing I remember about your school is I went to all your plays and I would go to your school dances. And that was my experiences with the nuns is when I was out dancing that they'd come tap me on my shoulder.
Those actually weren't nuns.
Giving space for Jesus.
Those weren't the nuns. Those were the lay teachers. The lay teachers were actually stricter than the nuns.
Because they were afraid
that they would get in trouble. Well,
honestly, because the nuns are living that life. And they've got some of them were just totally out of touch with reality. We had some that were like, I'm just so glad the students at our school don't smoke cigarettes. And, you know, some of the other teachers were like, are you fucking kidding us, sister? Really? And some of them just, they had been out in the field and they'd seen a lot and they just didn't.
They're like, I can't rub up against boys. So you should go ahead, dear.
Maybe that was part of it. Or, you know, or they were just kind of, it's just more like,
or they were like, nothing, it's all innocent.
Yeah.
Or it's like they had this idea that like we were actually quite nice.
Hugging.
Although Courtney and I were pretty tame, I have to say.
Reasonably so, except when you told one of the nuns that you were Satan and it scared her and chased her away.
Yeah, but
she had it coming.
She was mean. Evil. She looked like the nun that like the redheaded nun from Sister Act,
Identical.
The really sweet, quiet, like little sweet one. And except she was like Nurse Ratched, actually.
Nurse, like, yeah, that's, she was like Nurse Ratched, or for more modern context, Septa Unella from Game of Thrones, you know, just kind of being like, do you have something to confess?
She was just mean.
Scary.
She was really scary.
And awful.
And I got tired of it. And so I told her I was Satan and maybe skipped around her in a circle with my hands up on my head like devil horns.
Yep.
I mean, I can picture
I'm pretty sure clearly. I got detention for that also. Or she it's just was as, like, whatever.
Not as bad as the time that we stuck red vines in our nose like bull rings and we're chasing the boys around the stage. That was pretty great too.
Yeah, they really loved that. Our theater teacher was very pleased with us.
No, she was always mad at us. She was always mad
100% of the time mad.
Oh, God.
That's why people might think it's funny or a joke, but it really would be in people's best interest to pay us not to come to their events.
It really is in their best interest. We were like cracking up, cry laughing during like the show last night that we saw because of, I don't even know, something.
Hanani was having a hot flash and she was blaming us.
Oh, yeah. She said it was our fault. And I was like, I don't think that like perimenopause has anything to do with the podcast.
I'm completely convinced that it is because plus I've decided that musicals give me hot flashes. So that's what I've now incorporated in my brain is we're sitting there and they're singing and they're doing the performance and it's wonderful. I had a wonderful time. So I had also drank a lot of wine. And so I'm sitting there, I'm having a great time. And then all of a sudden I start sweating and it's like that pre-vomit, I'm about to get sick sweat where you just, your whole body just starts sweating profusely. And I'm feeling like, and I'm like, oh my God. And so in my head, and this is during a performance, right? Lights are out. I can't just remove myself from my seat. I'd have to ask three people to move. We'd have to cause a disturbance during a performance, which I'm not going to do. So I'm trying in my head. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, I did not drink that much. Plus I ate before I got here knowing I'd be having wine. My stomach isn't upset. So why am I getting this? I'm going to vomit sweats, but sweat is just pouring down my legs, down my arms, down my neck. And I'm freaking out. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I could tell Courtney could tell I kept getting squirrely because like at one point I had my purse in my lap. Because I'm like, I'm going to have to excuse myself and I'm going to have to just leave because I am sick. I don't know what's going on. And by the point that it was so bad that I was willing to tell her, hey, I need you guys to move because I need to go to the restroom or I need to leave my seat. By the time I got to that point, I was so messed up that I was like, but could you, in my head, I'm thinking, but could you stand right now? And I'm like, I couldn't. There's no way. I'm like, so how can I ask them to move when I can't even physically stand to move myself past them once they've moved to leave? And so then I'm like, okay, you need to just breathe. You need to breathe. You need to, you know, calm yourself down and see if this can pass. And I swear, as soon as it came on, just as quickly, like 5 minutes later, it started going away as if nothing happened.
It receded into the distance.
I felt
hot flashes are fun, right?
I felt completely fine. Like at no point had I felt like I wasn't sweating anymore. My head wasn't fuzzy anymore. My legs weren't shaking anymore. It was completely fine as if I hadn't just experienced this horrific event for like 6 minutes. And I was just like, oh, this sucks. But I am going to leave a review, a Yelp review that says I became a woman at the Broadway Rose.
It'll be like that famous Yelp review.
I'm going to leave that Yelp review. I became a woman there.
And then
someone can donate $300 to have you remove that from
to have review. Me not come back. Like, yeah. If she won't
it's,
come back,
it's like it'll be like that famous Yelp review that said "got stabbed here, would go back." So that Kanani will leave.
I forgot about that review.
I enjoy Yelp it so review. Much. Even if musicals give me hot flashes, I will go again.
Just say had a hot flash here, but would go back.
But would return.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no. So that was my first one. So I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun. That's a hot nightmare. I can't wait for more of those.
Oh my God.
But yes, I do blame you, both of you. Somehow it's your fault.
Yeah. Well, we
does
do have
to figure out how.
What was that?
I was say we do have some exciting news before we probably need to take a quick sponsor break.
Yeah.
And that tickets are on sale for That Witch Life Mini Con.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's The MiniCon, if you come before, it is a one-day virtual conference where the three of us actually present. And this year we have two special presenters. We have a master keynote class with Ivo Dominguez Jr. And we also have a special presentation by Michael A. Bryan. Now, here's what's interesting and different about this year's MiniCon. We are all focusing on astrology this year. So it is a one-day virtual conference only on astrology and all the different kinds of ways that you can use astrology in your practice. So, you know, in many of our other cons, we've got like a variety of different topics to study. But this year, we're just doing, you know, we've had some requests. People wanted to, you know, have one specific topic they could really dive into.
I'm excited because I'm going to be doing my workshop on, I've talked a lot about how in the last few years, I've been really focused on moon magic. And that has been every full moon, every new moon, but also paying attention to the moon and its cycles throughout the month. And so I've got a really great like app on my phone so I can see what sign the moon is in during the day or whatnot. And so I'm actually going to be doing my workshop on working with the moon and its different astrological signs. And so I think that that's, you know, we'll touch in a little bit about, you know, what it means for your own moon, because we all have obviously a sun, moon, rising, and then you have, you know, all the planets. But it's, you know, good to know your own moon sign and kind of what that means for you, but also then working with the moon in its different signs in the cycles. And so I'm really excited about that. And I love the idea that we have a theme this year. That's kind of my jam. I'm weird about stuff like that. I love themes. Whenever I do a party or the kids have a birthday or even when I do gifts, there's usually a theme. And so I love when we have kind of the cohesive idea of that. I love that it's all going to be astrology related in some capacity, but in different capacities.
So some of the classes that will be lead offering. So Michael A. Bryan is our featured presenter, is doing a Mastering Traditional Astrology, A Depth of Beginning in Celestial Art. And for our masterclass, Ivo Dominguez Jr., who is one of our listener favorites, is teaching something called Empowering Your Witchcraft with Astrology. You do not have to study astrology for years to put it into your spells, rituals, and practices. This workshop will provide you with methods and perspectives that can put it to use quickly. So that's really going to be helpful. So it's more than just like knowing your sun sign or knowing your moon sign or how, like, yeah, what kind of person you should date, but it's like really understanding how watching transits can really help you, you know, strengthen your witchcraft, which is great. And I love that Kanani is offering, you know, different ways to use the moon, because it's like, oh, it's the full moon, now what? But now it's paying attention to that in order to to make your magic even stronger. Rhea, you should tell them about your workshop.
Yeah, so I'll be doing a workshop on how to use astrology to enhance your creative practice. So, you know, if you're an artist, if you're a creator of some kind, these things are really important to pay attention to, not just from when you're creating, like, but also, you know, for me, I do a lot of ritual performance art. So I often, when I'm doing those rituals, look at what's happening and try and like tie that into the ritual. Like, what are the things that maybe need attention in this moment? And then same with just like creating in general, what times to like really harness your creative, your like kind of deep dive into what you're working on, and times not to. Also, it's a good opportunity to look at everything from, you know, when to look at signing contracts, like what time, like how, like things you should be aware of when you're collaborating with people. Knowing what's going on astrologically is really helpful, because you might know, like, this is a time period where communication is really challenging, so you're going to need to be extra, extra clear. Or you might know that, you know, this is not the best time to, you know, do, you know, to sign a contract. And sometimes you don't have a choice, but then knowing that is also, I think, valuable, because you can then do magic around that to, you know, to protect yourself as well in the contracts you're signing if you don't have a choice of date. So just things to think about, like, you know, in a practical sense as a creative, you know, as you go through creating things, booking shows, so on and so forth. But yeah, so I'm really excited for that. I know it's been incredibly helpful in my own practice, so I'm excited to help pass that on to others. But I think it's probably about time to go to our sponsor break. So yeah, thanks to all our sponsors, and we'll go listen to their awesome, awesome products.
We are so excited about our new sponsor partnership with Luna & Company Soapery. Luna & Co. is an enchanting soapery with the purpose of elevating your magic through the art of self-care. As witches, this husband and wife team that are behind Luna & Co. Soapery have passionately handcrafted natural soaps and ritual oils with intention. I have not only used them myself, but I have also personally gifted many of their soaps and body oils, and I cannot get enough of them.
They are fantastic. We have included them in our subscription boxes, and I personally have been using their Brigid soap in some of my cleansing rituals. They have all kinds of handcrafted natural soaps that are really great for your skin, but they are truly magical. And so it's a really wonderful way to incorporate magic into your everyday self-care routine.
Agree. I use the Hecate soap, and it is absolutely lush. It is so good. Their meticulously crafted planetary and goddess collections are more than just soaps. They are sacred creations, ritually consecrated with the profound intention of helping you channel the unique energies of planets and goddesses in your spell work, rituals, and manifestations.
That is so true. And whether you're just taking a quick shower or a leisurely bath, Luna & Co. Soapery creates a potent tool for personal transformation and spiritual growth. You can elevate your magic and amplify your manifestations with Luna & Co. Soapery. I can personally say I love their Luna and Persephone soaps. They are my favorites.
You can find Luna & Co. Soapery on Instagram at Luna Co. Soap and at their website at lunacosoap.com. Luna & Co. Soapery ships domestically, but they also ship internationally,
yes.
Friends. So for international shipping, please contact them directly prior to purchasing. And everybody can get 15% off your order when you use code LUNAWITCH15. That's LUNAWITCH15.
Thank you so much to Luna & Co. Soapery for being an episode sponsor. We cannot tell you how many witches have gotten hooked on Jasmine Pearl tea.
Well, it's friggin' delicious.
And you Jasmine Pearl fans, they have a whole array of absolutely phenomenal winter teas to keep you warm and comforted through these next few cold and miserable months.
Like their Golden Fire tea, every sip of that tea is an adventure. The turmeric brings warmth and grounding that combines with a zesty kick of ginger and cayenne to create a glow of flavors that dance on your tongue. More than just the taste, Golden Fire heals you from within. It's perfect for those wintry days when you need a bit of warmth, and you can even try it as a latte.
And let's talk wellness. This tea isn't just a delight to the senses, it's a guardian for your well-being, especially during cold and flu season. It feels like a nurturing shield, fortifying and protecting.
A tea that has become a personal favorite of mine, especially during these challenging times, is the Well-Being Blend. It's not just any tea. It's like a comforting friend, offering support when you need it most. Imagine a blend of elderberries, echinacea, red clover, and rose hips. Each sip feels like it's boosting your immune system. Perfect for those days when you feel a bit off or have been around others or under the weather yourself. And the peppermint in this tea, it's incredibly refreshing, especially if you're feeling stuffed up.
Hold on, let me bring you a sip of serenity. A moment of tranquility, will we? Courtesy of Jasmine Pearl's exquisite Tranquility Green Tea. Close your eyes and envision lush Chinese tea gardens where each leaf whispers the secrets of centuries-old traditions. This isn't just a tea. It's an invitation to embark on a journey of peace and harmony. Breathe in the essence of this carefully cultivated leaf. A sip can take you on a sensory journey that transports you to a place of calm, where time slows down and every moment is savored. Disclaimer, Tranquility Green Tea experiences may include a heightened sense of inner calm, a peaceful disposition, and a newfound appreciation for the artistry of Chinese green tea.
Supporting small businesses are very important to us, and the Jasmine Pearl is a family-owned tea importer and specialty tea blender, which is based in Portland, Oregon, and they have been crafting tea blends for 17 years and direct sourcing teas from origin since 2004. Their blending and sourcing philosophy is based in the love of fine teas and herbs, which is why they focus on blending with exceptional ingredients, hand blending each batch using mainly organic ingredients, and wow, does it show.
Check out these phenomenal teas at thejasminepearl.com. Save 10% with the new coupon code WITCH2024. That's WITCH2024. Free shipping on orders over $35. Make sure you let them know you heard about them on That Witch Life podcast. And thank you to Jasmine Pearl for being an episode sponsor.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed the sponsor break and we're back here. I'd love to open this up to if anyone has any questions that they'd like to discuss or they have any, you know, magical issues they're going through, you're welcome to pop that in the chat and we'd love to answer any questions if you have any.
And you're also welcome. Yeah. If you want to come off mute, you can just raise your hand and we can bring you up. In the meantime, I'm just going to highlight one of the threads that came out of our TWL Witch Squad. This is one of our wonderful members every month starts a new thread about what people are reading this month. And so happy new month. What are you reading this month? And so for March, here's what some of our squad members are reading. One of them is called The Witches at the End of the World. I actually don't know that one.
I don't either.
No, then we have somebody else who's reading several at a time. Intuitive Witchcraft by Astrea Taylor. I love Astrea. She's lovely. The Witch's Heart by Christopher Penzack. I have to tell you something crazy about The Witch's Heart by Christopher Penzack is that this is long before I knew Christopher, but I was actually starting to work on a book about love and romance for witches that I was calling The Witch's Heart. And then I was in a bookstore one day and saw that Christopher Penzack had already written a book about love and romance for witches called The Witch's Heart. And I told him about that and he wasn't at all like batting an eye. He's like, yeah, you know what? We're all connected. And sometimes we come up with similar ideas. And, you know, we actually became very close after that. And I think it's because Christopher and I do think a lot alike and he wrote the foreword for my book.
Also, he's very, very nice.
Yeah. And I love The Witch's Heart. And I'm actually glad that I didn't write it because he did such a much better job than I would have at that point in my life. And so I think he was definitely the one that the fates blessed with that idea before it came running my way. So I'm glad that happened. And there's Badass Ancestors by Patty Wigginton. That one's been out for a few years, but I think I love her approach. And then somebody else is reading Devolution by Max Brooks, Six Women of Salem, and the couple of audiobooks, The Bone Shard Daughter by Andrea Stewart, Woven in Moonlight by Isabel Ibanez, and Madame Pimita's The Magical Tarot. Those are some good ones. I just finished reading this really screwed up book so the first podcast I ever listened to was Keith and the Girl. They were some of the original OG podcasters. Like they were still doing it when they called it internet radio, like before the word podcast even existed. And they're comedians and they're just totally inappropriate and, you know, horrifying and wonderful and all these things. And Keith Malley, one of the hosts, has had a really tumultuous relationship with his dad since he was a kid. His dad was a former Catholic priest and had some really manipulative, emotionally abusive ways of raising his five kids. And Keith would always kind of like try to confront him on it and would always ended up just kind of slipping away. Well, Keith's ex-wife reached out to Keith and let him know that Keith's dad had been reaching out to her and asking her questions about Keith. Like, why did you know, what happened between you two? And you know, they're friends. And so she, with her permission, she agreed to it. He created a fake email account as his ex-wife and started emailing with his dad. And his dad thought he was emailing with the ex-wife. So basically he catfished his dad for like a year. And he finally confessed what had happened and he wrote a book about it. And it's totally screwed up and crazy. So Ree, you're on mute. Are you speechless?
I haven't even spoken yet. I was just laughing at you.
Oh my God. So
we do have a question actually in the chat that I thought is a really interesting one and probably one that would be useful for a lot of people. But it says, are there any fun spells I can attach to my resume to give a little extra help with attention. What do you all think? What do you think, Courtney? What do you think, Kanani?
So I think there's a couple of ways that you could do this. First of all, you want to think about what it is that you're looking for with your next job. Is it just a way to pay the bills, or is it to move you closer to the kind of job that you want to have? So before you do the spell, you want to think deeper about what is your goal here. And so let's just say, for example, that you're just looking for some quick cash, which is perfectly reasonable. And so what you may want to do is print out a copy of your resume, and use that and draw some sigils on it. Like, I happen to know that this squad member is a U.S. citizen, so you want to use the dollar sign. If you're in a different country or you're trying to get work in a different country, you probably want to use whatever the currency symbol is for where you live.
Yeah.
But for this person, I would draw a big dollar sign on the resume with your initials over it as well. So create the sigil with a dollar sign and your initials, and then set that underneath a fireproof container. And you know, burn some money candles, green candles, gold candles, green and gold candles, and that you're drawing attention to people who want to pay well for the job and they want to pay you for the job. Now, if you're thinking more like, yeah, of course, money is important, but this is a strategic career move, you want to open up, then you may want to think about something more like a road opener spell. You can do the same sorts of things, but you just want to design the sigil with the ultimate goal in mind.
With the goal.
Yeah, so it's more than
They responded with it's for, they're looking for something long term. So yeah, when you're doing that sigil, make sure that you know, I mean, the cool thing, I've done this before as well, where if you have a wax candle, you can carve sigils into the wax candle, obviously. If you are putting paper underneath it, I put a dish down the candle and the paper underneath, because you don't want, unless you can be there to tend it the entire, every moment of its burning, then otherwise you want to make sure that you don't maybe light the paper on fire. But you can duplicate. What I often do is, like, we'll carve the sigil into the candle and then also, like, replicate that onto the paper as well, because then you're burning both together. I've also folded up a letter for what I was, this wasn't for a job, but it was for something else, but a letter. And then I sealed it. I like sealed it with wax all over the top of it as well. And then I burned a candle on top of that, but I watched it the whole time and it was a short candle, just to be clear. We like fire safety, but I agree with that. You could also, so for jobs, what I've recommended for people before, especially when they're in the interview stage, but you could do this when you're dropping off or mailing the resume, is if you put a bay leaf inside your shoe, it helps boost your confidence, but it's also good for money. So it's a nice way to, you know, when you're walking. So like if you're headed to go mail it and you put that in there, every step that you take towards mailing that, you can kind of, again, reemphasize everything that you've done in the spell ahead of time, put a bay leaf in your shoe with the intention of it also, because I mean, I think a part of applying for jobs is not just is also confidence, especially if you get to the interview stage. A part of that is confidence. If you are not confident going into an interview, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to be as confident in you. So bay leaves are really good for boosting confidence, but also for and basil is also really good too. You can put it right in your shoe, walk right in there for an interview, or walk right to the post box to put it in the mail.
So we had another question in the chat is, what do y'all do with candle wax left over from completed spells? I have a bunch I use to help my baby niece come safely into the world, and it feels off to trash them, but that's probably what to do. You know, if the spell's completed, then the wax should go. Think of it this way, is that if you're cooking and you're breaking eggs and you're measuring out flour and sugar and stuff like that, you do the work, you bake the cake comes out, the cake is great, you eat the cake served its purpose, the cake is gone. You're not going to keep the eggshells, and you're not going to keep this is symbolically speaking, because you can compost them and stuff, but like, you're not going to want to reuse the sugar that's on the counter, like the little grains of sugar that hit the counter or on the flour that's on the wax paper. The pieces serve their purpose and they can go. You know, if it feels off to just trash them, you can take the additional step of some people I know break the pieces of wax so that the spell knows that its work is done. Or you can thank the wax and just like hold it in your hands for a second and just say thank you for the work that you did and I release you. So what I would say is, yeah, you probably want to go ahead and get rid of the spell remnants, because then after time, it kind of crowds your magical space, physically, but also energetically, even with the best spells, because the spell energy will linger, but the spell will start to get confused as to what it's supposed to do. And so it might attach itself to other spells, and not really allow the new energy to do its work. So you do want to get rid of the stuff. But if it's just feeling off to just trash them, then take one more step to thank the pieces or ritually break them. You could think about how this makes you feel about this is if you have another friend who's trying to do some fertility work, you could melt the pieces down, turn it into some kind of amulet and then pass it along to someone else that wants fertility work. You have to be careful with that to make sure that the situations are parallel enough.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky.
It can be tricky. It is an option.
I'd be hesitant to give it to someone else. But yeah, like you said, if it was close enough of the same situation, it could work. Also,
I wonder if you could throw, just off the top of my head, like I would probably throw it into a fire. Burning something outside, particularly outside, right? Because it's like, it's almost like you're releasing that thing from, like, it's finished, but you don't want to just toss it in the trash. Cause I understand that feels like it's going into the garbage, but I wonder if putting it into a fire, cause it'll just melt onto the, it will just disintegrate eventually.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with reusing spell work. So here's one thing I did recently with reusing spell material. So, you know, you all know I had a very long fertility journey and had a lot of spell work going on. And I can say this at this point because it's further enough along. So on my husband and my main altar, I had a number of objects that I used to try to help bring the pregnancy and support the pregnancy throughout. And one of them was a rattle that I used as a baby. It probably has mercury and lead in it because it's an ancient rattle. So I'm not giving it to my kid. And then some baby shoes and some other charms and trinkets that people had given me that I trusted to give me to me for some fertility work. And, had those on my altar throughout the process. Then when the baby was born and she's healthy, I didn't remove them from the altar, but I moved them to another space on the altar just because I was still scared. I was a new mom and I kept them there as just kind of on reserve. And then a very good friend of mine, they and their partner have been through also a very painful, long fertility journey. And with their permission, accepted my energetic help. So I brought those pieces back into the center of the altar for them and told say, hey, y'all are off the bench now. You're back in the game. Look at me using a sports metaphor. You're back in the game. But you're supporting this family now. And they have achieved a pregnancy and so far it's going well. So I'm putting those pieces in a third spot on the altar, not the same reserve spot, but like, okay, I want you all to just be on standby in case they need you again. Because, you know, no two journeys are alike, but there were enough parallels within this journey and it was new enough. And also I'm not going to throw away my baby rattle, from when I was a child, but I'm also definitely not going to give it to my kids. So it's now a magical rattle for fertility. And I've got a feeling this is going to have a very long career. as that role. Yes.
Good aunt. That's a good answer, Courtney. That's a really good.
I was going to say, it's not about candle wax, but because we are coming into spring and a lot of us do spring cleaning, and I absolutely do and recommend, incorporating cleaning your magical space as a part of your spring cleaning. Cause I think that sometimes we don't think about, kind of tidying up our magical space, but it really can get kind of nuts and crazy. One of the things that I find that I enjoy doing, for spring cleaning is I tend to have a lot of, because I buy a lot of my herbs and stuff. I don't grow them myself, so I buy them. So you'll have like all these packets of herbs that are like, there's just the tiniest amount, right? Like there's just, you have a bunch of things and there's just a tiny bit left, but you don't want to throw it away, right? Because you're just like, no, but you don't know, you know, maybe it's for protection or maybe it's for healing or it's for peace, or, you know, they each have their own purpose, right? So you don't feel right necessarily doing it unless you're doing that one particular spell. And so you end up with just like a surplus of just tiny bits of lots of things. I like to have, and if you have like a little cauldron at home because you don't have an outside burn space, you could totally do this too. But I tend to, now that I have a fire pit in my backyard, I kind of just gather up all of that burnable stuff that there's just a tiny bit of it. And it's just kind of, it's become clutter. And so it's not really, it just feels like clutter instead of feeling like, you know, good magical tools. And so I kind of gather up all of that burnable stuff. And then I will create a fire and I will just kind of burn it all. And I'll just say, hey, you know, with whatever your intended purpose was, you know, please, you know, bring this into my life and, you know, help, you know, with the upcoming year and all these things. And I just kind of get rid of it all at one time. And so that way you're not doing each individual having to do, okay, I need to do a protection spell, then I need to do a healing spell, then I need to use a cleansing spell just to get rid of all this stuff. That can be a really kind of handy thing to do as you do your magical spring cleaning, is a good way to get rid of herbs or other little things. Because I have other things too, like cinnamon sticks, right? Bay leaves. I started using myrtle leaves, you know, all kinds of just little random things that are wonderful, but they just kind of eventually can start to become very cluttersome.
Cluttersome is such a good word. Is that a real word? I think it needs to be. I'm looking it up.
It should be. It's my word.
We have one last question in the chat that I don't want to look over. This squad member said, this is a bit of a sad question. I live 4 hours away from my family and I have a 5-year-old niece. When I was there for a recent visit, I noticed my niece is suffering from what we can only call depression, but I think she also might be neurodivergent. She is bullied at school and her mom isn't taking her behavior changes seriously. I was wondering, other than practical things that which we've already tried, is there anything I can do magically to help protect her? She is only 5 and seeing her so sad is very painful. Any suggestions?
I mean, this is the good work of the ancestors for sure. You've especially if you have ancestors who might have been police officers, you know, a bit
or complicated. Teachers also,
teachers, you know, well, I mean, in years past, teachers could hit children in school and stuff like that. But it's just the thought of people that were, you know, ancestors that were soldiers, anyone that was in kind of a role of protection, that might be a place to start and ask for some support there. Now, I know we all have problematic ancestors. So there's always the what if a problematic one comes through? Well, then, you know, thinking about one that you do trust, and just figuring out one that you trust and have them vet the ancestors before they come through. So if you really were close with, let's just say you have a grandmother, and the grandmother, you trust and love them, and just say, hey, so-and-so needs some help from some ancestors, but I know not all of them are going to be the right fit. Can you
help me out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you filter them out?
But yeah, stretch the energetic velvet rope and let some of them in and some of them out would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think leaning on ancestors is a really strong, especially because this is a family member, you know, like this is like, that would be a really strong way to, because like, you know, you're right, Courtney, you know, we have ancestors. I mean, I can think if I was in the situation of like 4 or 5 ancestors that I think I would want to call in on. And like that, because there are people that would be either empathetic to that or were in positions of protection. And I think that, you know, I think that this is where ancestral work can be really, really powerful, because these are people with like those life experiences, those jobs that they had or those places in society that they had that were to protect others or were to make sure that others, you know, or even people that experience stuff like that themselves that could, you know, like, oh, there's all sorts of things that you can, you know, I think that you can pull on in that regard. So if that were me, I would also lean into ancestors. I would probably go to my ancestor altar and do the work there.
Yeah. And it's so hard, and it's, and I, and as hard as it can be, recognize, to be gentle on yourself, to recognize that you are limited in your capacity. Yeah. And by being the witch, and by, and then also you could, and another thing to do to give yourself some peace is that, whether it's asking the ancestors or asking the guides of this child, and say, open the, if there are ways in which I could be more helpful, to open those ways and illuminate them for me.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and too.
Because that was like, what else could I do? Well, there may be things you can do, or there may not be anything you can do now. There may be something you can do later. But by, it's kind of like putting yourself on the volunteer list for your local organization and say, just call me if you need some help with this. And they may need you and they may not. And, but when they do, they will call. So that's something else you can do, is the two spells. One, definitely bring the ancestors in, but then also, but don't put the picture of the child on the ancestor altar. You don't put pictures of the livings on the ancestor altar.
No.
But you could, you know, still, you know, connect with them, but then also in your own spells, do some illumination work. Especially full moons are great for that, because full moons do illuminate. Full moon, so illuminate for me a path. If there is a path where I can be more helpful, illuminate what that path is.
Yeah. Also, just in a practical sense, I was that kid, right? Like super neurodivergent, like, you know, really struggled in school, was bullied really, really bad. And I think that, like, just having family members that are like super connected that like made me feel seen was huge. So just being that person, I mean, even when you're far away, but anytime you get a chance to be in that child's presence, like I try to do that for the kids around me, whether they're my friends' kids or family members that I know struggle in that way, just to be like, oh, I like relate to them. And like, I remember really looking up to people that like, that I knew saw me, like, right. It's not like they even necessarily had to say anything, but I could, you know, they were there, they were present. They saw me, they saw, you know, because these things, you know, with neurodivergence, it's uniqueness, you know, and like not everyone fits into the same category as everybody else, especially in a learning capacity. So, you know, like helping celebrate the differences in a cool way. Like I really appreciated people around me that were like, you're so creative. Look at what, you know, like it made me feel like, oh, I'm not just struggling in school and people don't like me. It's like someone, especially someone that I looked up to, saw me for who I was. And that was really powerful. So also just being, you know, a physical presence in a practical sense. And like, you know, when there is time, whether it's over the phone or a video call or in person or whatever, those things, those last, they stick with you as well. But it's really hard. It's hard, you know, having been that kid, I empathize fully. It sucks to be in that position. But I think that one thing that I remember is like, you know, as time went on, like I connected with people that were like me, and those are like, you know, that allowed me to see like, oh, here's like, you know, I got into theater. There are lots of neurodivergent people who end up in the arts because they tend to be really creative individuals. So like it, once I started to see other people and was able to relate to other people, I like suddenly made some pretty massive bonds with people that like impacted me for the rest of my life.
And then you get cast as a wicked stepsister.
Yeah. Then you get stuck with psychopath friends that you start a podcast with.
Yeah.
Later on, and you make all your money by not showing up at people's events.
I'm so excited about this new business venture. We're going to be so rich. People are going to pay us so much money to not come to things.
They're going
to
be like, oh my God, $10,000. Yes, please just don't show up.
Please stay home and don't come.
And we'll be one step closer to our compound of witchcraft
and pigs.
And pigs and feral pigs. Hogs and regular pigs and goats and miniature Highland cows. Just saying.
I am going to make you a Highland cow cake for your birthday. I swear to God.
If you haven't gone down the miniature Highland cow route on TikTok, I highly suggest it. You'll be fucked just like me. And you will be like, but I could definitely, that is smaller than my dog. So I could definitely make this happen. I don't think they're allowed in the city, but I'm going to find a way anyway. Well, I think we're probably about time, but I really appreciate everyone for showing up. It's always so nice to see your faces and hear your questions and get to interact with our squad members. We say this a lot, but I mean, it truly is the case. We literally would not be able to do this podcast without the support of our Patreon members and the community that we have, that we're so lucky to have in the squad is amazing. It's a space that is that we appreciate just as much, to be able to be in there and get to connect with people, and people give great advice in there. And also there's a lot of funny stories and it just brightens all of our days. So
the nicest really group of weirdos you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
So absolutely. To be a squad member, patreon.com, That Witch Life Podcast. Or is it That Witch Life? Are we That Witch Life Podcast or That Witch Life on Patreon?
Patreon? I don't know.
Yes. I should probably look that up.
This is why we're the worst, because like in some places we're That Witch Life, and in some places
it's patreon.com, That Witch Life, and then you can join our squad. And don't forget, y'all, go to thatwitchlife.com and get your tickets to the TWL MiniCon, which is our full-day virtual con, focusing only on astrology this year on Saturday, April 6th. And early bird tickets are only available for another week or so, and then we will price will go up, but we want to make sure everybody can get it. And if you're a Patreon member, you get a discount. So, yay!
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate you so much. And for those of you listening, thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye, thanks, everybody. Y'all. Thank you for listening to That Witch Life Podcast. Our music is by Dustin Schultz, editing by Corey Drake. If you like what we do, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee or check out our merch on our Etsy store, or join us on Patreon for bonus content, ad-free episodes, or to join our witch squad. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For show notes, audio transcript, or to ask us a question to answer on a future episode, go to thatwitchlife.com. Until then, keep moting that shit. We will talk to you next week.
So mote it be.